Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
It'll help mama bears to do what they must do in our broken culture, is to give sane, common sense answers to all the confusion and wokeness we're surrounded with. So if you just operate on feelings and emotions, you'll never be a good mama bear, and you'll never function in our woke society in any way that gives rhyme or reason to how a man or a woman or a boy or a girl should live.
The truth is, there's a lot of voices in our world trying to lead you astray. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message in the wilderness and helps you understand what discernment is and why it's so vital to your Christian walk in a world filled with competing voices claiming to speak truth. Stay with us. That's up next. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give, and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, In the Wilderness.
Isaiah chapter 5 says it clearly. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. If you can, would you just kneel with me? Father, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come, we're asking for that midnight cry when all of your children will be gathered with you in paradise and eternity and glory forever and forever. We thank you for that blessed assurance. But Lord, in the meantime, may all of us be found faithful to the truth of your book and to the profession that we make in seeking and asking Jesus to be our Savior, and every day letting Him be the Lord of everything in our lives. Father, you speak. Let me get out of the way so that Thy Word and Thy truth alone might be heard. Lord, I've got nothing to say except through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. September the 11th, 2001, I was in a prayer meeting with some men in our church, and I walked down the steps, and someone told me an airplane has struck one of the Twin Towers in New York City. At the same time, in that tower there on the 78th floor, there was a man who was already seated at his desk. Under his desk was his dog Rosie in her little bed. And then there was an explosion from above, said this man named Michael. And immediately the building began to tilt 20 degrees. Smoke began to come in the room. Glass was falling down. A man named Philip came in the room and said, "We're all going to die. The building is coming down. You'd have to be blind not to know that." At that time, Michael stood up, who was blind from birth, and he reached down and got his guide dog, Rosie, and he turned and he said, "Trust Rosie. He'll get us out of here. She'll get us out of here." Some of them laughed. Others fell in line, and Rosie turned and began to guide Michael and a small group behind him in the middle of that catastrophic moment. He put his trust in Rosie. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who can read and write and has a lick of sense knows that in the world today, and particularly in America, there's all kind of debris, fallacy, rumors, ideas. And around us are the sound of many voices. Have you noticed? Internet, television, friends, wherever we go, there are voices, 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 voices saying, "Believe this, give money to this, join this, be a part of this." And we're just surrounded by people calling for time, for influence, for money, for energy. And how do you and how do I know whom we can trust? Good English. In Texas, we say who we can trust. Who can we trust? Who do we put our confidence in? Michael, blind as he was, put his confidence in Rosie. Sound many voices. Come, go, run, shout. All kind of ideas. This is what you do with your savings. This is what you do with it. All kind of. Who do we trust? Who do we listen to? Now, let's get a little history. Go back to postmodernism. Postmodernism. I read this summer a book, interesting, called Philip and Alexander. Philip of Macedonia, Alexander's father, Alexander the Great. And in this book, it takes you back to antiquity, to the beginning of the Roman Empire. And I read with great interest how they made decisions, where they got their authority, and it was all might makes right. The strongest, survival of the fittest. Their religion was everything, everybody. It rains, Zeus is happy. It lightnings, Zeus is unhappy. And you got all the gods and goddesses from Stoicism to Epicureanism, all kind of temples all over the world. And when Alexander went out with all of his decadent living, see, they would give children to these potentates as sexual toys. When they would conquer an area, they would marry the Pharaoh's daughter so they control, and they would adopt all the religions, all the idols, all the cults, all the traditions. When they had a problem in the sea, they'd say, well, we haven't been faithful to the gods of the sea, of the sun, of the moon, or all of our instincts. That was pre-modernism. How did they find their authority? They tried to find the God that met the need and met the shame of that moment, and they worshiped that. Or they gave sacrifice to that. Human sacrifice, all kinds of sacrifices. Pre-modernism. Modernism, we've talked about it. That came in there through the wonderful moment of the Enlightenment. The scientific method came into vogue. Francis Bacon, how do you find truth? Truth is revealed by experiment. Truth. And how do you find truth? The five senses. All of them. And then finally you plug in reason. And in this materialistic atmosphere, people found answers to all the voices, to all the decisions, to all the moral questions. They would look into reality. Carl Sagan asked, where did all this world come from? He said, the cosmos is, it always has been, it always will be. Where does life come from? Did you know for many centuries, they would see raw meat and maggots would appear on that meat? And they'd say, look, the meat somehow, inanimate, creates something that's animate. That was believed for hundreds of years, folks. Pascal threw that out the window. But this was the era of modernism. In the science areas of the day of education, modernism is dominant. There's a little quantum theory atmosphere. You know, Einstein discovered the quantum realm, and then he spent the rest of his life as a physicist trying to disprove everything he'd found in the quantum area of science. Interesting. So we have pre-modernism, ghosts and goblins. We have modernism. I've got to see it and I've got to touch it. But all of these atheists and agnostics, they never could explain how you have a creation without a creator. And you can't either. Then we come to postmodernism. And that's when there are no absolutes. What is an absolute? It's something that is true in all times and all places to all people. That is an absolute. Now we have postmodernism. There's no absolute. Truth is whatever you want it to be. You just pick a number. Therefore, there's no foundation at all. Therefore, we're out in a constant area of squirrelism. And that's where we are today in the humanities in our educational process. And that's how, when all these voices are calling, we just jump into one of those areas now, primarily postmodernism, and say, well, you know, this is where you find out things. So the bottom line we need, and one of my favorite words, if you've been around here for a while, is the word discernment. Discernment. What is discernment biblically? Discernment is a spiritual gift. Discernment is a mark of being led by the Holy Spirit. It's not an absolute thing, but how we need, with all the voices calling for this and that and the other, how we need to know and put down and have the ability of discernment. A five-year-old boy walks in into kindergarten. He looks and says, Mommy, are we racist? 6-year-old girl comes in from school and she says, Mommy, the teacher told me if I wanted to, I could be a boy. Mommy, what are you going to say to those kids? How are you going to communicate to them on their level so they'll understand what's going on in this woke culture? How are you going to answer that? There's a tremendous book out, little book, Mama Bear Apologetics. You say, well, that sounds like another one of the little book, Mama Bear Apologetics. Let me tell you something. It is written in terms that you can understand. And by the way, if you bump into a word that you don't know what it means, you know what the simplest thing to do is take your cell phone, ask Siri, what does this word mean? And bingo, it's there, and you won't be dumb the whole life when you read things you don't understand. Little secret, don't tell everybody that. So here we have this little book, Mama Bear Apologetics. Apologetics, well, how do you apologize? No, it's from 1 Peter. It talks about we have to be able to defend our faith. Lord, somebody asked, why do you believe this? How do you know this? And that's the big old pregnant word we talked about, epistemology. Oh, I don't like that word. It means, how do you know that you know? I know this, I know that. How do you know that? So here is Mama Bear Apologetics trying to answer the most profound questions you'll ever be asked. I remember I must have been, I'm guessing, 7 years old, and I asked my mom, who made God? Oh, that's a childish question. No, that's one of the most profound questions any human being could ever ask. So we'd better be prepared. Mama Bear Apologetics. Read it. It'll help mama bears to do what they must do in our broken culture, is to give sane, common sense answers to all the confusion and wokeness we're surrounded with. I know about mama bears. I lived in the mountains of North Carolina for over 5 years. We had black bears up there. I've been bear hunting. Thank goodness I didn't see one. But I'll tell you something, you know anything about black bears and most bears, when they have cubs, well, that mama bear will give her life in a skinny New York minute to protect those cubs. A mama bear is one of the most vicious animals on the earth when the cubs are there. The cubs are born in hibernation. She has one or two or sometimes four. And that mama bear sticks with those cubs. See, the cubs, bear cubs, are not like normal animals. Normal animals develop by instinct, not the bear family. In the bear family, the mama bear has to teach those cubs by example where to find food, where to find water, how to protect themselves. Usually they hover down in the bottom if they can find a white pine tree in their area of control, and they will bed down there. So if mama is ever out foraging for food, the cubs can be there, and she taught them how to climb up that pine tree and be safe. Mama bears, parents, you'd better be like that bear mama handles those cubs. If not, you're going to wake up and say, what happened to our kids? Now, what about Papa Bear? Papa Bear is gone. He doesn't participate in any way, shape, or form or fashion with the bringing up of those cubs. Hopefully, prayerfully, some Papa bears will not follow the example of the animal bear. But in the meantime, Mama Bear, you'd better be able to answer those most difficult questions in ways that they can understand in a Judeo-Christian biblical framework. If not, you're going to lose those children. Read the book. It talks about discernment. Discernment is able to determine what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, what is expedient now and what will be expedient in the future. It's the ability to discern. And that's an operative thing in the mind. You have the prefrontal cortex of your brain, if I'm right. This is where we make rational decisions. We make emotional decisions way back here at the head of our stem cell, a little bitty thing there, a little bitty thing. Amygdala, it's a little bitty thing. That little bitty thing is where we make all of our emotional decisions, that little bitty part of our brain. Out here, the prefrontal cortex, we make rational decisions. And what happens when you have to make a decision? Discernment. We go back so many times and make decisions emotionally. We go back and let this little bitty place way back here decide what we're going to do, how we're going to act. That's the reason that some people are still stupid enough to say, just do what your heart wants you to do. Do what you feel like doing. You're using this little bitty back part of your brain. That amig dabella, little bitty thing. Big something. If your emotions and your feelings control your life, emotions and feelings are the worst thing we can rely on to make decisions. And they tell us physiologically, when we make decisions emotionally, it shuts down the reasonable part of our brain. Here's the emotion, here's the reason we make emotional decision. The frontal lobe here, the prefrontal lobe cortex, goes out of business. Did you know that? Zip, it happens. We don't know it. So if you just operate on feelings and emotions, you'll never be a good mama bear, and you'll never function in our woke society in any way that gives rhyme or reason to how a man or a woman or a boy or a girl should live. Emotions are a bad thing to be a leader, but emotions are a good thing when they're in concert with the reason part of our mind. And when they work in harmony, therefore we get emotional. I've tried to learn one simple thing. Time out. You know that? Everybody do this right here. Time out. Would everybody do that? Yeah, you got that. You've seen that 100 times. Recently, I got emotional about something. I took a little time out, got more information, and I suddenly tied reason with my emotion. And then what do you have? You have passion.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Zechariah 1:3. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. A writer named David Redding wrote about growing up on a farm in Scotland. As a young boy, he was given a beautiful black puppy he named Teddy. Redding and Teddy were just inseparable. When Redding had to go to war, he was unable to return for more than 2 years. But when he got a half mile from the family farm, he heard Teddy barking, walking up that road. Redding said he just whistled, and Teddy recognized that whistle and came running toward him. Redding observed, if a dog can receive me back after I've been away for such a long time, how much more will God welcome and receive me when I return to him? Whether you've wandered off or run off or so got caught up in the agenda of the world that you have gradually just drifted away from God, from Christ, this story is a reminder that you'll be welcome when you return to the Father. Just whistle, lift up your hand, open your eyes, your heart. He'll be there. In a quiet way, perhaps we need to repent, perhaps we need to confess, perhaps we need to say, Lord, we've been away, but just in a quiet way, just your whistle, and God will be there, ministering, healing, returning you and me all the way back to that once again intimate relationship in His almighty family.
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the 5 areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being here today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message about holding fast to the truth in our woke culture.